Apart from the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, of course, the very big, very sad news dominating headlines this week has been the situation in Afghanistan. You all would have seen it, some of those images, particularly those images of people clambering onto the US plane, trying to exit on the runway, people clinging to wheels, and just horrific, horrific images coming out of Afghanistan. To talk about this issue, really keen to talk to my next guest. His name is Michael Pucci. He was a former LNP member in Queensland, but he's also a US Marine who served in Desert Storm in Kuwait in the early 90s. So he's got both a political and a military view on things. Michael Pucci, first of all, welcome to the King Review.
Thank you very much, Gavin. I'm pleased to be here, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Now, Mr. Pucci, your view, was it the right decision to withdraw troops in the way that it was done in recent days?
We spoke about this months past about troops being withdrawn, and I had an opinion then, and I'm going to stick with that same point of view. And bringing troops home is never looked upon as a bad thing as long as the mission is accomplished, okay? So the decision to bring troops home after 20 years of being there and training, or allegedly training, supposedly training this Afghanistan army and supplying them. After 20 years, they should be able to stand on their own two feet. So bringing the troops home was not, in my mind, a bad decision. And I don't think in many people's minds it's a bad decision to bring the troops home. I think there was a hunger for it to bring people home. It's the way it was done and announcing how it was going to be done. Not just the way it was done, but letting everybody else know how it was going to be done. Mm-hmm. That was the problem.
Well, let's just drill down on that a little bit. I mean, how could it not be foreseen that the Taliban would take over the country, for example? I mean, how could we have not foreseen that this was likely to happen?
Everybody did foresee it. Mm. Everybody knows. And I believe in the coming months that we'll have leaked interviews and leaked advice and things, all those things of those sorts to President Biden saying, look, it's going to... Taliban will take over once we... Everybody said it. We even talked about it on your show. I think it was in April.
Exactly.
You know, we said it, that, you know, Taliban will take over if it's not done correctly. You know, got to leave someone. And I said, look, we have forces all over the world, in Korea, in Germany. We leave a force behind to make sure everything runs good. It's all this and all that. But Biden just, you know, he closed Bagram Air Base and told them to turn off the lights and leave in the night. Mm. And didn't even tell the Afghan military they were leaving. And that's the largest military, most secure base in Afghanistan, and they just left. How could they not foresee? You know, when he's asked on the 1st of July, a reporter asked him, well, there's intelligence that says that Taliban will take over. How likely? And he said, it's very unlikely Taliban will overtake the country once we leave. He said it. Those were his words.
And yet it happened so rapidly. It was almost this instantaneous shuffle to power, just incredible. What about, talk about preparedness, what about the fact that have the US and Australia, for that matter, done enough to protect those who worked with allied forces? There's a lot of debate in Australia in particular about, you know, have we done enough to help those who helped us?
Well, you know, I'll talk a little bit about both, you know, Australia and America. You know, in America, I would say the answer is no. Obviously, you can't send people a text message and say, hey, try to get to us and we'll get you out of here, but we can't guarantee your safety. You know, it would be a text message in a country that's in chaos and people are getting killed. There's horrific scenes on the streets right now where Talibans are whipping people, beating people, women and children bloodied on the streets. After they said they're going to treat them with respect. And, you know, the planning to me was just disgusting. Heads need to rot. People need to be held accountable, Gavin. How can, if this was a civilian operation, they were pulling out of a country, so this would happen, there would be people fired, there'd be investigations that, you know, or if this was a conservative probably politician, there'd be calls for impeachment and things. But the fact that it's a military thing, and everybody says, oh, it's military, okay, we left weapons over there, we left this, the incompetence, it's unfathomable. It's just somebody has to be held accountable. And when Biden says the buck stops with me, he doesn't mean it. He says the buck stops with me, and then he goes on to blame every other person possible. You know, my question is, where is the plan to get the military gear back. You just weaponize the most lethal terrorist organization in the world with U.S. equipment. You know, there was no plan. Why they closed the airfield? That was the largest, most defendable airfield, just 25 k's or 25 miles from Kabul, that they could have had a designated place for people to muster when things hit the fan to get the, and get them out. But no, they decided to do it in a civilian airport with 4 million people in the city and the streets, and it just it's just crazy.
Michael Pucci, one of the big questions or concerns I've seen doing the rounds this week is around, was it all worth it? Was 20 years of sacrifice and service and the deaths of Allied soldiers over those years, was it all worth it to see things end up and descend into chaos the way that they have this week? I have a very close mate, an old school friend, in fact. He won't want me to name him, but he is a former Australian soldier. He served in Afghanistan on a couple of tours, came back, you know, just a terrible, terrible mental health impacts that the service that he did on the front line there in Afghanistan has had. And he wrote just yesterday, he says he thinks of the mates that he's lost and he says, was it all worth it? And he says, from my point of view, yes, it was. I believe we made a difference to the lives of the people we had direct contact with, and I'll not allow political decisions and media spin to erode that belief. Your thoughts, Michael, you've served overseas. Your thoughts on, was it all worth it?
Well, that's a very simple question for a very complex issue. But in my mind, to answer it short, yes, I think it was, because there is no questioning that the Taliban is strong now. I mean, they just took over. But how strong would they have been? And what would be happening to that country right now if they were there for the past 20 years? You know, you think about the thousands of women and children, the children that are, were children 20 years ago who are now adults, and the things they are accomplishing. Would they have had those opportunities today if they we weren't there for the past 20 years? Would the women who are now running businesses or had the opportunity to run businesses and have government postings and things like that, would they have those experiences? And would the country now know? Because now they have tasted what it is to have some freedom. So although they don't have the means at the moment, they will remember, I believe, that how it is. People always say, you don't know what you miss until it's gone. You don't know how much you're going to miss something until it's gone. Well, when the Taliban, when we first got rid of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, they did, that's all they lived under for how long? You know, they didn't know any different. Now they know different. So, yes, I agree with your friend who says we made a difference. We did make a difference to countless number of lives.
Should governments around the world, including the U.S. and Australia, recognize the Taliban government?
I don't believe so, not the way they took it over. That's my opinion. I mean, but that's right now. Let's see what happens. You know, they say, we're going to be different. We're going to treat our women and children better. But you know what? Stalin said the same thing in 1936, and he didn't. You know, of course, they say what one thing and do another. Biden should know that. He's, you know, he says he's saying all kinds of things and doing another. So he knows what it is to say something and do something different. You know, I just cannot believe that they didn't have a plan to get the people out. They didn't have a plan to get the military gear out. They didn't have a plan to some kind of alert system set up. There's no accountability. You know, he came out this morning, Gavin. President Biden came out this morning and talked about booster shots for the COVID vaccine and walked away without taking any questions. Well, Afghanistan and the city of Kabul are just exploding. He talked about, he wants to take all this credit about booster shots and vaccines that the former president put out there, but he doesn't want to talk about this, you know.
Well, I mean, President Biden isn't Robinson Crusoe when it comes to politicians dodging tough questions, let me tell you, in this day and age. Michael Pucci, fantastic to talk to you about such a complex and such a massive issue. Great to have your insights. Let's do it again soon. Thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.